Secure Trust is a division of TrustWave. Secure Trust delivers world-class security, privacy, risk, and compliance assessment services for the enterprise market, as well as merchant risk management programs and solutions for merchant program sponsors around the globe. Secure Trust is committed to addressing security, risk, and data privacy customer challenges while building upon our foundation as a payment card industry pioneer, qualified security assessor company, approved scanning vendor, and trusted digital certificate authority. For more information, please visit www.securetrust.com.
Welcome to Privacy Elements by Secure Trust. My name is Jason Leichert, and I'm a managing consultant here at Secure Trust. With me today is Chris Brown.
Hello, my name is Chris Brown. I'm product manager for Secure Trust, and my charge is to assess and understand client demands relative to Secure Trust mission and develop products to meet those demands.
And also with us on this podcast is Michael Webster.
Hello, I am Michael Webster, for sure. I am a managing consultant here at Secure Trust, focused on governance, risk, compliance, and privacy, and information security. I am a certified information privacy practitioner, and I'm glad to be here with you.
All right. Thanks for the introductions. Let's move on and talk about the subject, data privacy.
All right. So let's talk about the privacy landscape. What's going on with privacy, primarily in North America and the United States, but, you know, maybe a little bit, we'll talk a little bit about worldwide privacy and some of the other regulations that are out there. But Michael, I had a question for you. You know, in your opinion, with your experience and working with your clients, what does privacy look like across the United States, right? What does that landscape look like right now?
That landscape is in need of some care. Essentially, what's driving the privacy landscape, of course, are breaches of data out there, and every state, for the most part, has some type of privacy law on the books, and we can come back to that. But ironically, it's the state of California that is really driving things, because they represent about, 25% of the U.S. economy, and in almost every state in the union does business with them. And so what you have are privacy laws on the books that are converted to regulations, which then businesses have to comply with, who are, for the most part, doing business with residents in a particular state, in this case, California, but also New York, New Mexico, Georgia. There's about 45 different states that are either about to ratify some regulation to conform, to these laws. So essentially what we have is a hodgepodge of different laws. For the most part, they all have the same principles. There are certain rights for individuals. You have to do certain things with the data. You're subject to certain penalties and or suit, but trying to comply with laws that are different across the entire United States is making it rather difficult. Because you can't take a one size approach fits all. And then to complicate matters, you have other regulations, for example, HIPAA, which has privacy embedded within it, called the privacy rule, for example. And you have to be careful to make sure that what you're doing with the left-hand privacy rule isn't stepping on the right-hand privacy rule. So the landscape is basically, stay with that metaphor, lots of weeds growing, and those weeds need to be trimmed. The federal government is looking at this, but as of yet, there's nothing that's going to trim all these weeds and bring everybody in line with a manicured lawn, so to speak. So for today, we are essentially trying to figure out where people are, you know, what jurisdictions they're subject to, and then to sort of ferret out what needs to be done and align those different laws that they may be subject to.
No, and that makes a lot of sense, right? We've got 50 states, the federal government, but, you know, California is leading the way with, you know, they have one of the largest GDPs in the world, even without the rest of the United States, right? Just in California. So Chris, I have a question for you. How, from your perspective, looking at this from, you know, a client services perspective, what are you experiencing when talking to clients or potential customers and other people interested in data privacy? Are you seeing more challenges because of the lack of overall federal regulation in the United States?
I think I would answer the second question first, in that, yes, I would say that we have experienced some confusion, and we've understood from our client base that they don't have a complete understanding of which applies, which supersedes which. So I think the important takeaway about the landscape is that there aren't many places in the globe that your business or organization is outside the reach of one privacy regulation or another law. So as opposed to being concerned about any one law, I think it's most important to understand that regulations follow the data. So organizations should understand what data they have, and like Michael said, the jurisdiction for that data. And oh, by the way, sowing that confusion, there may be multiple regulations. And of course, there will be growing pains as these laws mature and as enforcement begins. So when considering any one regulation, a good consideration is to focus on the data you have, your organization and your organization's privacy focus, and just don't get pigeonholed by the first law only to duplicate efforts for the next. So the important takeaway about the landscape is that there are many regulations. Focus on your data, focus on those jurisdictions for that data where you are.
No, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's a lot of different privacy laws and regulations, you know, not just the United States. You know, we've got CCPA, we've now got CPRA, right? And we don't really have anything federal. And then we have this, we have a lot of, and Michael, you spoke to it a few minutes ago, right? We've got these concerns with HIPAA and health information that's protected. But now we have to deal with that in a COVID-19 world. Right. And, you know, there's talks about federal legislation beyond HIPAA just to help protect that. Because if you look at things like contact tracing, that's privacy data. Right. And some of that's geolocation data. Right. So that's going to fall under the purview of some of these laws and regulations. And I think it's important, you know, looking at it from the top down perspective, is that organizations, to help manage this, they need a data privacy officer. Right. They need ownership. They need leadership, and they need to work very closely with either their internal in-house counsel or find a legal counsel to represent them, to help them get their arms around this. Not just, you know, contact tracing, because, you know, if you really think about it, I think one of the takeaways from ISC security conference this week was that companies are going to start looking at having a chief health officer. Right. That would maybe part of human resources to help manage the health information, but also to help protect the employees from, you know, like COVID-19 or any other mutations of that or whatever the impact might be, to worry about the overall health and fitness of their employees. Yeah, Michael, is there anything you can add to that?
Yeah, in regards to the health, right? And I wanted to just make sure we pull on that thread a little bit. So that's a specific sector, right? Healthcare sector, and which is something that is certainly the way the landscape is laid out within the US, it's sectoral based. So everyone should understand that unlike, you know, general data protection, you know, law in Europe, GDPR, we don't have an all encompassing law. So being able to be nimble enough, you know, as you said, you have to have somebody who's responsible for privacy, whether it's healthcare, whether it's finance, you know, regardless of what the data set is, someone needs to be in charge of that and to be driving a program, you know, which we'll get to, you know, in another podcast, I'm sure. But the key takeaway there is, one, to understand there is no federal law that governs everything. You could be subject to multiple laws depending on the sector of the economy that you're functioning in, healthcare, finance, right? And to be certain to, keep an open mind so that you can address the items that you need to address. Otherwise, you just leave a big gaping hole in your privacy program. So just wanted to pull that out.
Yeah, Chris, did you have any thoughts around that? Looking at this from a healthcare perspective?
I guess just to emphasize the point that we want to expect regulation. Therefore, the question isn't question of, what regulation specifically, but do I know my data? Do I know my organization? And can I react to the regulation or the next? So not boiling the ocean, but beginning with the end in mind. So there's a regulation and it most likely applies, but it depends on exactly what you have and how you use it. So to Michael's point, depending on the sector, depending on the overlap, you have to understand your data.
Absolutely. Right. And you've got to understand where that data is traveling across your network. And we're a global network these days, right? Organizations have, as you look at Secure Trust, we have operations across all the continents, right? Except Antarctica. We're not there yet, but maybe one day, right? We'll have an office. But you're dealing with privacy implications across multiple jurisdictions, right? And without governance, without an actual program, how are you going to manage that? In the first place to start, right, is to determine where's your data at? Where is it traveling to? Where is it coming from? Where are you generating it? Because then you need to be aware of what those privacy implications are for that particular jurisdiction. And like you said, you don't want to boil the ocean. It's going to take you forever. It's going to be 4 billion years before the sun's, swells and swallows us all. So it's not going to be possible for us to do that by looking at the big picture. You got to break it down into smaller micro projects, right? And determine, hey, I have data in the United States. I have data in Canada. Maybe I have data in the UK that falls under the Internet Commissioner's Office. What are our privacy laws and regulations that we need to apply to data in each of those jurisdictions? And my recommendation to clients is to find whatever's the most restrictive out of all of those jurisdictions and just treat all your data equal. Right. And really limit it, which might make things more difficult for the business. But from a privacy focused perspective, that's probably the only way to not reduce or to reduce cost. Right. It's going to be too difficult to try to, manage preferences differently in all these different countries. Michael, did you have any thoughts around that?
Yeah. I mean, the key point, right, in that last part of your conversation was the business, right? So, there are competing forces within these businesses, right? So if we put on our business hats, most businesses have a finite amount of capital that they can expend on, governance, right? And, so they're going to be trying to balance, these costs with what they can do. So ultimately, practicing privacy within the organization is going to have some cost associated with it. There's cost associated with, human resources, there's technological costs. Some of those may be, shared with the information security folks, and things of that nature. But ultimately, they're going to have to sit down. And as they're doing this exercise to figure out, okay, if I comply with the most restrictive law, I can get everything, but what is the cost of me doing that, right? And they're going to have to be very granular with these laws to understand. So, specific example of that might be, and I'll take a simple example, a policy and procedure, right? For privacy, you have to do both internal, for your organization, there's some training, privacy, what you need to do. And then externally, you have to provide notices, to the people that, are providing you with this data that could be identified as personal information. And so you know, as I'm constructing a policy, you know, it takes time. If I'm doing this for, you know, one, you know, it's pretty straightforward. If I'm doing this for more than one, you know, it takes time to read those policies. It takes time to ferret out, what language you need to use and where you need to use it. Does it need to go both in the notice? Does it need to go both in the, the internal policy? As I'm deploying this to my website, do I need, extra links to point to these differences? If I'm on my mobile platform, how does all that work? And so sitting down ahead of time and sort of sorting through the logic of what needs to be done will help companies to understand what the cost of that's going to be. And each time you move through some aspect of the privacy law, right? Whether it's, you know, policy, notice, whether it's, trying to figure out, what data can you keep, how long can you keep it, responding to user requests to inform them of what you have. All of those things, I think, should be addressed up front before you implement, right? So that you understand, okay, yeah, I'm trying to comply with everything and there's a cost. I don't want to get to the end and figure out we can't do what we need to do. So you want to make sure that, there's sort of this dry run, to sort of understand the landscape. What do you have to do? What's it going to cost to implement this? Do we have this, these resources? Okay, because if not, then what you want to do is try to prioritize some of this and start working this and then go, back to, your funding source to get them to understand what the risk will be if you can't implement everything that you're subject to in your particular jurisdiction.
Sure. And there's a total cost of controls, right? And as you add on each layer of a privacy law regulation and you look at multiple jurisdictions, there's just more costs and how to keep that manageable, right? How to make that maintainable to determine what are our risks and what controls do we need to actually meet to reduce that risk to a reasonable level to whatever our risk threshold is. That's a time-consuming endeavor. And I think data privacy officers need to be aware of that and look at it from the perspective of it's not only the risk to the organization that we're concerned about. Data privacy is about the consumer. It's about the citizen or the subject and how we protect their data. And by meeting our obligations, we reduce our own organizational risk, right? There's two sides of that coin. There's just a large number of items to try to get your arms around when you look at all these different privacy regulations, right? Imagine if you were a global business and you operate in Brazil and maybe Mexico, and maybe you have offices in South Africa and in the United States and in Europe. You've got at least 5 to 7 regulations for data privacy, right? And obviously there's going to be overlap. And there's going to be, not only just in the rights that are afforded or protected to the data subject, but just the sheer amount of policies, procedures, notices, contents and preference management. Like there's so many things there that it's honestly, you need a team of people who work on data privacy and that also keep in mind that data privacy does not equal security. Thoughts, Michael?
Yeah. And perfect example of that, right? So think encryption, just to kind of tie all this into a neat little ball. The information security practitioners will want to do certain things. So let's say you're in an organization and, most privacy regs give you some kind of exemption, if the data gets out in the wild, if it's encrypted, right? So if I put on my information security hat and I just happen to have a background in cryptography, we might already be encrypted with X type encryption. I don't want to call out names because I don't want to give anybody an idea that one encryption is less or more than the other. Although that's true, I just don't want to call it out. But let's say X encryption we're using. But I'm the information security professional in the organization, and I'm now talking to the privacy side of the house. And I tell them, like, look, you know, we really need more resources to implement this Y encryption, which is better, right? But that information security professional is not looking at the whole landscape at a broader level that the privacy practitioner might be looking at. And so perhaps we don't need to spend those resources, right? The encryption we have is good enough for what we're doing. Although the information security professional wants to implement better encryption. And so having that partnership across the groups, you know, whether it's legal, privacy, information security, you know, whatever it turns out to be, you know, those relationships and those partnerships have to be such that, you know, they're in agreement with what's going on and people aren't taking advantage of those relationships, because at the end of the day, you have to balance the, you know, the cost of privacy and the, you know, protections that you have to implement, you know, for the good of the, you know, individual's data that you are, you know, responsible for. But at the same time, you know, this is the InfoSec, you know, how much security, but I still want to give the business, you know, the access that they need so that they can do what they need to do. So that seesaw is going to be present. And the way to manage that is to sort of make sure that those relationships are there and that people are paying attention and not doing, you know, more than they need beyond the cost that they have to implement a specific feature. So that's going to play out across the board in a lot of different areas, because privacy touches a lot of places, or I should say, you know, keeping data private, right? And so as that happens, as long as, you know, all the players are involved, I think it's manageable.
Oh, and I definitely agree, right? And there's a diminishing point of return for what you can do to try to protect data from a data privacy perspective, from an information security perspective. You know, like you said, you have encryption, you know, type X, and they want to move to Y and they want to use these other tools. You know, we're technologists. We like tools, right? We like things that try to make our lives easier. But if encryption X is meeting your obligation to, you know, your regulatory bodies, and it's meeting the expectations of what it potentially could be a best practice, even though Y might have improvements, is there actually a benefit to your business, right? By making that move, is that actually going to save you any money, or is it just an investment that's going to take 30 years to pay off, right? And that's a great point, is all these controls and all these obligations, you know, they take time, they take effort, they take money, right? That organizations have to prioritize that, you know, to meet this ever-changing landscape. And, you know, when you look at the evolution of CCPA to CPRA, and we look at those changes, you know, you've already sat down, you've already, you know, your company's already implemented policies and external notices, and you're trying to be compliant with the current law and regulation, and now you've got to worry about it in the future. Did the changes you made to meet CCPA, are they actually already going to meet CPRA obligations or any other legislation that comes out? These are all part of that evolving privacy landscape, right? And I know we're running out of time for today, but, you know, really looking at it from a data privacy perspective, it's sectoral, right? And right now there's a lot of legislation that's either in committee or it's being, you know, talked about in a lot of state legislatures. I know you spoke about New Mexico earlier. It's, you know, I think it went back to committee last year, right? Michael, thoughts? Yeah,
just one last point. So, you know, to that point, right? So we've been scrambling for a couple of years for, you know, California Consumer Privacy Act, or better known as CCPA. And now we, you know, in an election year, you know, November 3rd, Californians passed, you know, a new privacy law, right? So you know, the point of trying to make sure that you are agile in this process and that this person that we talked about at the beginning, you know, of this session, you know, that would be responsible has to pay attention because privacy is moving pretty quickly across the landscape of the U.S. and there are going to be changes. And so, you know, you can't, this is not something you're going to set and forget. It's going to require constant monitoring and updating and having the partnerships in place to do that so that it doesn't become a burden is extremely, you know, important. So whether that's a, you know, consultancy or, you know, someone that you can call on a regular basis, you know, just to see what the landscape is, some organization that's involved in that space is going to be very valuable and helpful.
No, and that's a great insight. Chris, as we wrap up, is there anything that you wanted to add?
Just to recap a little bit of the items that I think were really important, just that how to address anyone regulation comes down to, do I know my data? And does my organization have the capacity to react in a way that's appropriate? And that includes things like understanding the costs, understanding the risks, if you can't do everything to the letter of the best practice, and making those decisions and trade-offs with the guidance of a consultancy or a DPO. So really, you just have to have a firm understanding of your data, the jurisdictional requirements, and only then can you react to this regulation or the next and implement those policies, notices, according to those costs and according to your data and ultimately reach that goal of complying with the regulation.
Excellent point, right? Definitely things that are, you know, clients and other entities that are interested in data privacy should be interested in and be looking into, right? Having that oversight, and being aware of your data and the regulatory requirements that fall under it. So Chris and Michael, I want to thank you both for your time today. It's been very insightful. Did you guys want to add anything? One last thought?
No, I think, thanks for inviting us, and we appreciate being able to participate.
Yeah, thanks. And looking forward to discussing kind of next topics on mapping and classifying data as well.
Absolutely. Next time we're going to talk about data mapping, where's my data, and tools and strategies for organizations to help them understand their data and how they're using it in their environment. Thank you both.
Secure Trust will not offer any legal guidance or counseling. The views and opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the authors and presenters and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of TrustWave or Secure Trust.